Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are always present, even in the midst of what some of us call storms or tragedies or hard times. That for some of us here this morning, this past week, or this past month, or this past season, has been just that, a storm. That it hasn't been easy, it's been difficult, that life is far from good in our eyes, and we need you. More than ever before, we need you. And so, God, I ask that for those who are in need of your comfort, that you would comfort them now. That they would know that you are here, that they would know that you love them, that they would know that you're for them. So, God, for all of us here, every single one of us, wherever we are on the spectrum of faith, wherever we are on the level of trusting you, whether we don't believe in you at all or fully devoted, we recognize that we are all here. And I ask you, Jesus, to show up. And may we know, either for the first time or again, that you love us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, we all said?
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. And for those of you finding your seat, good luck. I'm just kidding. It's a challenge. Well, how are we? Ah, Jay, you're always blessed. So good. Cool. Well, I'm actually okay. Yeah. Thanks for asking. Yeah. I'm a little sick. I don't know what it is. It's got like, children, something like that. And it's like we have to go to parties all the time with kids, other kids. And it's just like, you know how it is. Birthday parties are just germ infestations. It's like the gift that keeps on giving and it comes back around. So I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm a little tired. I have a little bit of a congestion, so thanks for asking. There you have it. Last Thursday, we baptized about 30 people. How cool is that? Pretty awesome. And next Thursday, we start a new series where we're going to be going through the book of Hebrews. So if you want to join a Bible study and be a part of something like that, next Thursday, Matt is going to kick off the series on the book of Hebrews, which I'm pretty stoked on. And then this weekend, we are kind of coming towards a transition. Matt and I have been talking about post-resurrection Jesus. And by post-resurrection Jesus, I mean Jesus died, rose again, and then hung out. He hung out with different people, and different people interacted with him, and we've been looking at those stories. And today, we're going to look at the last moments of Jesus here on earth before he ascends up into the clouds, up into the heavens. So if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 1 is where we'll be. We will skip across to a couple other verses because Jesus is going to talk about something. He's going to talk about a gift that he is going to give. That when he leaves, when he ascends into the heavens, he's not technically leaving. Although his physical presence will be gone, he is actually giving us something for us to live with as we navigate this journey of life. Acts chapter 1 is where we'll be, and we're going to begin to look at what that is. As it says this, as Luke says this in Acts 1 verse 3, it says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he's talking about Jesus, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was what? Actually alive. Ah, and that's what we've been looking at for the past few weeks. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, a couple things. One, John baptizing with water means that John was immersing people underwater. That's what baptism means. That's what baptize means. It means to immerse. So just like you dive into a pool, you are now immersed in chlorine. You're now immersed in that water. Right? In the same light, Jesus is saying is that he is going to send this gift, this Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he is going to immerse himself around you and in you, that every part of who you are will have the presence of God a part of you. pretty powerful, pretty unique. It's actually really powerful. And the beautiful thing about it is he says it's a gift. That you can't do anything to get it. Rather, all you do is receive. Because that's what gifts are. So you receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be baptized. It will be immersed in your life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Now, the disciples, I like to call them the disciples because they're slow. They can't quite get it. And still to this point, after all of this time, after Jesus resurrecting from the dead, they're still like, huh? Look at the next question they ask. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore a kingdom? And that's when Jesus does one of these things. Dude, are you serious? And he goes on, he says this. He says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. For everyone who's really into eschatology, which is the study of last things or end times, and everyone's going, I've got the date. No, you don't. Amen. Sorry, you don't. It's not for you to know, because that's not the point. The point is to not be stuck in the future. The point is to be here, because that's where God is, always here. And so he's saying, hey, stop doing that. You're getting stuck in the future. That's not the point. That's not for you to know. But what you do need to know, as he says in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud. So just imagine like when you were a kid and you released a balloon. And you were told that the balloon goes to heaven. But what you didn't realize is when you lived in Southern California, it ends up in the ocean. But anyways, let's just go into the heavens, right? So like you're releasing a balloon and you're looking at the balloon go up. After this, he was taken up into a cloud, and while they were watching, they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said. That's probably how that sounded. Why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. In other words, he's coming back. Okay? He ascends, and then there's this gap from his ascension to his return. And we are living in that space. We're living in the space of his ascension and his return. When is he returning? His answer, soon. That's fantastic. There's no timeline. When's he coming back? Soon. Well, how long is soon? It's soon. It's like I tell my daughter. Are we there yet? Yeah. Almost. How long? Soon. It's the same thing. He's coming back. So we live in that space. How do we live in that space? What does that space look like from his ascension to his return? Well, Jesus says that he has given us this gift, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. What exactly does that entail? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus talks about it in John chapter 14. In John 14, verse 15 through 16, he says this. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what's that word? Advocate, to help you and be with you forever. That word advocate is also in reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, advocate in the Greek is the Greek word parakletos. And I say Greek because the New Testament was primarily written in Greek. And the Greek word parakletos has another meaning besides advocate, which we'll talk about in a second, but another meaning for this parakletos, the Holy Spirit, is comforter. That the Holy Spirit is our comforter, not a bed comforter. Different. Comfort is, it's powerful, it's strange, and we need it. Have you ever encountered some sort of tragic moment? And in that tragic moment, the one thing that you were in need of was not necessarily someone giving you their opinion or someone telling you that God's got you. But what you really needed was someone to hold you. Was for someone to embrace you. That in that moment of tragedy, of tears, and you just can't even muster up the strength to breathe and take a next step. What you needed was someone to come alongside you and bear hug you. And the crazy thing is that in that moment of that bear hug, in that moment of that comfort, there's a sense of inner strength that begins to show up. The tragedy is still a tragedy. Nothing has changed, but something within you has. And what that strength is comfort. We're made for it. We need it. That in tragic moments, for many of us, comfort is our mom, which we'll be celebrating next week. In case, guys, you didn't know that. Next week. You're welcome. But comfort is like that. It's like, mom, I need you. Or dad, I need you. Or so-and-so, or whoever it is. We need that touch. For some of you, you guys know a story that I shared with you a couple months ago about Evelyn. Evelyn lives down in El Salvador. Evelyn had a stroke. And her the healthcare is not the best down there. The private healthcare is okay in El Salvador, but the public healthcare system is just not good at all. And she got stuck into the public healthcare system, and she was, we thought that she was going to die, basically. She wasn't looking good at all. Paralyzed, not like in tons of pain. And we ended up flying, we meaning a friend of mine, flew down there because Evelyn's like a younger sister to me. I've known her since she was little. And I flew down there, walked into her house, and she's lying on her bed. And she's lying on her side, and she sees me walk in, and all of a sudden her eyes are just like, ding. Like, whoa. And she's like, well, I didn't know what she was saying because she couldn't really speak. And if she did speak, I wouldn't be able to understand it because it's in Spanish. But her eyes opened up, and I felt like her saying, the gringos are here. They've shown up. You love it because it's just like this, ding, gringos. They're here. They love me. And there's this moment that I sat next to on her bed, and as I sit down next to her, I just wanted to hold her hand. And luckily, there wasn't like, sometimes you feel the need that you want to say something, but you don't know what to say, so you start saying stuff, and it just doesn't, like the words that come out, you're like, that's not what I wanted to say. So sometimes saying nothing is really important. And in that moment, I didn't say anything. I just held her hand and just squeezed it. And it was like electricity. It was like that noise. No. It was like electricity going through us. It was this powerful moment where you felt the great comforter, where you felt the Holy Spirit moving between us, that as I held her hand, she could sense and know that it's going to be okay. As tears were going down her face, not tears of sorrow, but tears of hope. Tears of knowing that she's not alone. Some of you are in the midst of that kind of tragedy. Whether that's a personal thing or a family thing or a neighborhood thing, that there's a tragedy happening within your inner circle, and the Holy Spirit is coming alongside and he is wrapping himself around you and comforting you so that you can have the capacity to breathe and take that next step. Who is the Holy Spirit and how does he work and relate in us and through us? He is our comforter. It's powerful. We need it. We long for it. You're not alone. He's here, and he's comforting you right now. Embrace it. Know it. Sense it. Feel it. Not only is he our comforter, but it also says in the translation that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Oh, just a side note. Evelyn, the person that I'm talking about, she's no longer paralyzed. That's a big miss. She's no longer paralyzed. Isn't that cool? She's walking, but like not fully. And so I'm praying, because I also believe that the Holy Spirit heals. And so I'm praying that the Spirit of God would heal her completely so that she can walk, and she'll walk down the street, and other people will go, oh my goodness, Evelyn's walking. How is that possible? It's only possible because God has healed her. And other people will come to know God through that healing. That's my prayer. And I hope to see that happen in the near future as God is continuing to slowly piece things back together for Evelyn's life. So, another thing. How the Spirit of God works in our life is he is also our healer. So he is our comfort. He is the one who comes alongside and embraces us in the midst of tragedy. He is our healer. He's also our advocate. And by advocate, it means that someone standing, say even in a court of law, who is going to speak on your behalf, who is, in other words, for you. That the Holy Spirit is not against you, he is for you. He is your number one fan. Every time you post something on Instagram, he's the first to like it. He is for you. He loves you. He is all about you. And Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of us have weaknesses? Yes, that's where everyone raises their hands. It's a safe place. We all have areas in our lives, maybe some little areas where we're not so strong, or maybe like most of our life. We've had weaknesses. And the Spirit of God is so for us that he empowers us in our weaknesses, where we lack strength as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, as a coworker, as a neighbor. Where we lack strength, the Spirit of God empowers our weakness. And not only that, look what Paul says for the example. He says, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Ever felt like that? Yeah. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. There are moments in our lives where we don't know what to say. We have no idea what to do. Sometimes we just get out of the house and get in our car and start driving. And we don't even say words. We're not even speaking English. We're so caught up and so confused that we just go, ah! And you know what the Holy Spirit does? I got you, bro. I know what you need. And I'm communicating it to the Trinity. I'm communicating it, and it's being sent up. And the eternal, loving, relating community in and of itself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God is listening. And he is providing exactly what we need in that moment of, ah! He's like, I got you. It's okay. Why? Because I'm for you. There are moments in our lives when, as parents or as spouses, and we're just like, ah. And the Spirit of God is saying, I know what you need. I'm for you, not against you. He's a gift. Which means that he keeps on giving. Which means that we don't have to do a bunch of things in order to receive. We just keep receiving his goodness as he continues to empower us in our weakness, as he continues to remind us that he is for us, as he continues to show up again and again and again. If we jump back to John 14, again in verse 16, which we read, Jesus says, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, to help you and to be with you for how long? Say it again. Forever. That's what I'm talking about. And forever means forever. Now, there are sometimes for some of us in our relationship with God, in particular, where we felt this way before, because we felt the sense inside of us that whether it's a fear of abandonment or poor theology, that we, because of something that we have done, God will leave us. No. In fact, while we were still against him, he died for us. He loves us. And I'm going to take Jesus' words on this one. As he says, the Spirit of God will never, ever leave you. Will always be there for you. He is our comforter in tragedy. He is our healer. He is the person, God, the Spirit of God moving in and through us. He is for us. He is our strength. He is this powerful God moving in and through our lives. And just a side note, sometimes when we think of the Spirit of God and we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of like some kind of force, like Star Wars. And just the other day, apparently, there was a holiday or something, maybe a lack thereof, of Star Wars-ness. It was called May 4th, and people say, May the 4th be with you. I'm like, really? I saw this kid on May 4th, and I was like, hey. He's like, what's up? I'm like, May the 4th be with you. And he's like, thank you so much. Like, seriously? Well, you're welcome. Yeah, right on. Sometimes we think the Spirit of God is this impersonal force. The Holy Spirit's God. It's not an impersonal force. He's God. And he's in you. And he's for you. and he's empowering you. On top of that, Jesus goes on and says in John 14, verse 17, that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So not only does he comfort us in tragedy, not only does the Holy Spirit empower us in our weakness, not only is the Holy Spirit for us, not against us, not only does the Holy Spirit speak on our behalf, knows what we need, but he's also the Spirit of truth. What does that mean? I think for every single one of us here in this room, we have believed something to be true when it was in fact false. I think for many of us, we've encountered that when we bought something on As Seen on TV. Dang. But wait, there's more. Done. I'm in. I want it. And then you get it, you're like, oh, what? Ay, ay, ay. These guys are just so good at selling me. I thought it was what it was, but it wasn't that. It's not that at all. But there are things in our lives that we believe, that we think is true, but it's actually false. And these lies, they creep in. They show up. And we believe them. Lies that tell us that we need to do whatever it takes to get ahead, even if that means harming others or neglecting our beliefs. Lies that tell us that we can't. Lies that tell us that we're worthless, ugly, have no purpose or value. Lies that tell us that this suffering will last forever. Lies that we believe to be true. Even for myself, I am transitioning from this job into more of the mission field. And as I step out into that unknown, as I'm looking at that, lies are coming into my mind. You want to know what those lies are? I'll just be honest with you straight up. Those lies say, you can't do it. You're not going to be able to provide. You're going to go broke. You're going to be homeless. You won't be able to take care of your children. They won't have health care. You are a failure. Lies. It's not true. And many of us have experienced that before. Maybe you've been like, you know what, I want to write a book. And the lies come in. Once you say that, you're like, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to be the next J.K. Rowling. I'm going to do it. I want to write a book. And then the lies come in. They say, no, you can't do that. Nobody's going to read it. Or lies come in and say, I want to lose weight. Forget it. The lies come in and say, it's too much work. You're not worth it. Or we say, I want to get help for my addiction. And the lies come in and say, you don't have a problem. Everyone else is doing it. Plus, you don't deserve happiness. These lies come in. Where they stem from, the father of lies, the false self, this belief system that is in our minds. And I feel like as we get older and older and older, that voice becomes louder and louder and louder. We become more submissive to it. And as we stare at ourselves in the mirror and we actually listen to the voice, it's this voice of negativity. It's this voice that isn't true. It's the false self staring at us back into the mirror and speaking lies over us. And so for myself, what I've noticed to be helpful in the midst of those lies is, for one, is to acknowledge the voice and to let it know that you hear it. Let the voice know that you hear it. Remind it that it's no longer needed, and then ask it to leave because you know it's a lie. Now, when you hear those lies, it's not true. Those are lies. And then call upon the Spirit of truth, that being the Holy Spirit, and ask him to illuminate your mind of what is true, to show you the difference between your true self and your false self, to delineate between what the Heavenly Father calls you and what the father of lies calls you, to show you the difference through scripture, through prayer, through interaction with one another, through creation. And what you'll begin to see and what you'll begin to discover is that you have purpose, that you are valuable, that you are beautiful, that you are good, that you do matter in this world, that you can, that you will never be abandoned, that he will never leave you or forsake you, that you can overcome that obstacle because he will empower you to do so. Don't listen to the lies. The Spirit of truth, that being the Holy Spirit, will empower you and illuminate your mind and give you eyes to see that which how God sees you. And that's where we need to be. And in that place, there's so much freedom. And here's the trickiness of lies. Here's the trickiness, because it's very deceptive. Someone I heard recently, someone said in the audience, they said, "Well, I'm fat." And the person on stage said, "You're not fat, you have fat." That's not who you are. Do you see that? Because you could sit in that place, and who knows how long you've thought that I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. I'm this big fat pile. No, you're not. You have fat. You're not fat. And sure, do you need to work on the fat that you have? Maybe. Maybe nutrition and working out is a thing that you need to do. Yeah, sure. But that's not who you are. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are a miracle. Are you kidding me? You're incredible. That's how God sees you. Don't let the false self, don't let the lies creep in and tell you otherwise. Call upon the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and let him illuminate your mind to see who you really are. And watch as you step into that, more freedom, more joy, more love, more patience, more goodness, more kindness, more self-control, more, 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 as you recognize the Spirit of God is producing that within you. So who is the Holy Spirit? He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He's the Spirit of truth. And he loves you, and he's for you, and he's with you, and he's in you. And my hope is that for some of us, this might be new to us, and you'd begin to open up the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life and watch him move radically through your life. And for those of us who have, keep walking in line with the Spirit of God. Keep walking in line with him and watch as he performs what we call miracles. But for him, it's just another day. It's just another Tuesday. It's just another Wednesday. Watch as he begins to move in and through your life and restoring that which is broken, healing that which is needed of healing, rejuvenating, bringing life in its fullness, because that's what the Spirit of God does. The Holy Spirit is here. He is with you and for you and loves you so much. Listen to him. Walk with him. And may you be empowered to go out from here today, to be who God has created you to be, to do what he has called you to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the sacrifice of what you have done for us. Thank you for the gift. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gift that you are in our life, that you are here, that you're with us and in us and empowering us. You're showing us what is true and you're showing us what is false. For some of us, we have been believing in lies about who we are. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would illuminate their minds, that they would understand that at the core of who they are and how you see them is good and you love them. And you're for them, and you're never going to leave them. For some of us right now, we are in the midst of tragedy. We are hurt. We are broken. We are angry. We are confused. We are in need of your comfort. Comfort them now. For some of us, we feel like because of the decisions we have done, you have left us. May we know that you have never left us, that you are for us, and that you're here, longing for more intimacy, more relationship. And so, God, we come before you this morning, and we thank you. We thank you. Here we are with you. We love you, and we know that you love us. In your name, amen. In this next moment, the ushers are going to come forward, and they're going to pass along the offering. If also, if you notice, we have communion here this morning. We're going to pass along those elements. Please feel free to take those elements at your own leisure when you receive them. And then we're going to also be worshiping through singing. So let's take this time as a community, as family, to worship God together in those ways. God bless you guys.